Sleuths Mystery Entertainment presents Robert J. LeBlanc's Motive Means Opportunity. Brought to you by Maine Repertory Theater, the home for original comedy. And by Somerset Abbey. So much more than just music and comedy, it's an experience. Tonight's episode, All's Well That Ends Well.
So, this is it.
It appears that way. Sir?
Yes, Bianca?
What do we do if this Max character is right?
What do you mean?
What if we do if he's accurate? Well, what if he guesses the killer or confesses?
If he's right, we let the innocent go. I mean, they're all in the holding cell, right?
That's right.
The only way to see if he's right is to play that last record. I'll grab one last cup of Joe for each of us. Sound good?
It sure does sound swell, boss.
Then play away, Bobby. Play away.
Amanda, Christine, Charlie, Dr. Clay, we're all here. Where's Max?
I saw him bringing his luggage down to the foyer.
So did I, but that was a few minutes ago. Surely it only takes a few seconds to drop a case.
Well, what if he took off?
And what? Swam through ice-cold waters to escape a murder? Come on.
Well, why not? He was all take charge. It would have made sense that he would have done that to try to avoid suspicion.
Nonsense. I know Max. He wouldn't be up to something like that.
Of course you'd say that.
Meaning what, Amanda?
Come on, we've all seen it.
What have we seen?
Abigail and Max. Come on, it's obvious.
Is it? This should be good. Do tell.
You've been hanging on his every word all night.
Have I really?
Of course. You two have a thing. Or had a thing. You love him. Don't deny it.
I won't deny it. Of course I love Max. We've been friends for years.
So you admit it?
Yes, I admit that I love Max. My oldest friend and the closest thing I have to a family.
Likely story.
I feel sorry for you, Amanda. It is possible for people to care about each other without conditions or expectations. Max is a dear friend, a loving friend. Nothing more. The only romantic thing I've ever sought from him is advice on the men I've dated.
Really?
Yes. He's the closest thing I have in this world to a brother. Of course, I wouldn't expect you to understand.
And why not?
Well, for starters, I'm guessing it's hard to concentrate when you're bouncing up and down as a human trampoline.
Why, you? Little!
Amanda, no, don't!
Calm down, my dear. There's already been one murder tonight.
So you admit it. You killed Frederick.
I did nothing of the sort, and you know it. After all, none of us believed your little sob story. We know you killed him.
I did not!
What's going on in here?
Amanda and I were playing a little verbal tennis, nothing more. Have you looked all over for all of our answers, Max?
I have.
So? Who did it?
Yes, who did it? Suspense is dangerous.
How is suspense dangerous? Actually, no.
It kills people.
Of course.
Who did it? That's a question, isn't it? Was it you, Amanda? Did you kill for revenge? Was it Abigail trying to pay Frederick back for destroying her career? Was it Charlie avenging his father? Did Christine find the insurance policy and cash it in? Did our good doctor here perform a little malpractice, or was it me? Did I kill him to seek revenge for framing me?
Well, Max, which is it?
It isn't any one of them. Not a single one of Frederick's motives proved to be accurate.
So, he killed himself?
No. Now, it was murder. But not for the reasons he thought. All the clues were there. It just took some time to put it all together. The murderer poisoned the bottle of wine long before Frederick drank from it.
So it was Charlie. He must have snuck into the wine cellar and poisoned the bottle.
Me? It wasn't me, honestly. I tried to kill him once already, and look where it got me.
But you were the one who grabbed the bottle after Frederick was poisoned.
To drink it. I took it to drink it. I just didn't notice it was opened.
Like we would believe that you wouldn't drink it because of backwash.
Actually, I totally believe that.
Hey, stop it. It wasn't Charlie.
I told you it wasn't.
Think about it and the pieces will fit. The person who did the crime got here early, had to have the poison when they arrived, and most importantly, had to have a valid reason to excuse himself from drinking the wine.
Himself? Well, that eliminates three of us.
I'll also bet that it's not you, Max, and you've already ruled out Charlie. It means only one thing.
Oh, thank you!
Oh. What was that for?
Thank you so much. I don't know why you did it, but I really enjoy your work.
Me? You have no proof.
Don't I? Well, let's see about that. We'll follow Frederick's little rules. Means. Frederick went to great lengths to provide us with the means to his downfall. Thing is, the poison he supplied us with was never used. The seal was never broken. So where would someone have access to poisonous substances?
In a doctor's bag. He offered to get me some aspirin out of it earlier.
Right. Lucky for us, even though he no longer practices medicine, he just happened to bring one along.
Who's to say someone didn't take the poison from my kit?
Which is a possibility. Remember, we all could have had a few seconds with that bottle. However, no one knew that Frederick would be here.
And neither did I.
That much is true. But you did get here prior to everyone else, including Frederick. You probably saw him arrive. And if wine was set to be served by Frederick when he got here, it would have been available early.
But we talked about Frederick. I had no quarrel with him. He saved my life.
And I'm sure you believe that. Which leads us to motive. Or should I say your true motive? You got here early enough to watch Frederick arrive. After he went downstairs to arrange tonight's little engagement, you snuck into his room. It was then that you discovered his open briefcase. The motive was simple. He robbed you of your birthright.
But Christine was his daughter, and he already had a wife who would inherit all of his money upon his death.
Not quite. In the folder, there were four documents, the adoption papers, which proved your claim to his fortune, a genealogical report that proved he tried to keep you from getting it, the divorce papers, which eliminated Amanda from any claim, and the insurance policy.
But the insurance policy named Christine as the beneficiary.
It did. And because of you, she's rich. But we're not talking about the policy. We're talking about the inheritance. Christine, though his daughter, had no claim to his fortune. You made sure of that by falsifying the paternity test.
But Frederick lost all of his money. There would be no inheritance.
Unfortunately for you, that little piece of the puzzle wasn't discovered until well after the murder had been committed.
Means. Motive. One more, Max.
Opportunity. You poisoned the bottle after realizing that Frederick willingly let his own brother rot. You forgave Frederick for one betrayal already, but two was unforgivable. You poisoned the bottle and waited for him to take it. With luck, he'd have a drink alone. However, if he offered you any, you knew you could excuse yourself as a recovering alcoholic. That's when things began to unravel.
He didn't know anyone else was going to be here.
Right. When he saw others arrive, he panicked and grabbed a starter pistol. Frederick left the bottle in here with us, so there was no way he could sneak in and dispose of it without people seeing. So we waited.
In the hall! I thought I saw Frederick.
That's right. He waited until we were all in here and came out of hiding.
But when Frederick offered us the wine...
He fired the pistol and prevented anyone from drinking.
Except Frederick. By that time, it was okay. We knew it was poison and wouldn't have drunk it anyway.
But I was in the parlor.
At the end of the hall upstairs. We know. That's what you told us.
But why don't you believe me?
Because if you fired that small pistol up in the parlor, none of us would have heard it.
Right. How many times did you call up the stairs before Christine and Amanda answered?
3 or 4. When they didn't answer, we thought something happened to them.
We never heard them. They had to come up and get us.
So of everyone, you fit the means, motive, and opportunity. You're the killer.
You can't prove a thing, Mr. Parker. All of you had motives far stronger than mine. Well, what evidence do you have? Nothing.
I wouldn't be so sure of that. I happened to search your luggage while it was in the foyer. I figured you wouldn't have ditched the vial of poison you used. You didn't have time or a safe place to do it. I also figured you wouldn't have left it in your doctor's bag. I was right. It was in your suitcase.
You could have planted it. No police officer worth his salt would believe you.
You're right. Good thing I wore gloves when I was searching your bag.
Well done, Max. I'm guessing once he discovered that we were here, he was too concerned with preventing us from drinking the wine to wipe the prints.
Exactly, Abby.
Fine. I did it. I couldn't handle the fact that he'd known we were brothers for decades and let me rot. The fact that he only hid it from me but left me out to dry was too much.
So you poisoned him?
Yes. Before I knew anyone else was here. One death I could handle. 6, I'd never forgive myself.
You know I'll have to turn you in.
I know.
Abigail, hand me that rope.
What are we going to do with him?
I'll take him to the mainland and deliver him to John Law.
The bridge!
Oh, I guess we can all go home now.
Well, we made it. One dead, one rich, one divorced, and one captured. I'd say it's been a productive evening. Come on, Doc, it's time to go.
Wait, Max, I need to ask you something.
Sure, what is it?
Let me write you.
What?
Let me be your Watson. Give me exclusive rights. Come on, Maxie baby, I can taste this one.
Are you sure, Abs? I think you might have a future doing this yourself. You've got a better mind for it than I have. Let you be the hero.
And I'm not saying I won't. Well, I'm not saying that I won't at least consider it. But this is something I know I can do and do it well.
Sure, Abs. Knock yourself out.
You won't regret this, Max. Books, movies, radio dramas. I can see it now. Motive, means, opportunity. A Max Parker mystery.
Come on, Abby. Who's gonna waste their time listening to that?
Someone will, Max. Someone will. Now let's get this suspect downtown.
You're already sounding like a private eye, Abby. Let's go, Doc. Let's go.
Well, I guess she got her story.
The way she's talking sounds more like a franchise. Come on, Charlie. You can show Christine and I around the place before we go.
Sure thing, Mrs. Locke.
Christine, aren't you coming?
I'll be right there. I have something I want to do.
Sure thing. Come on, Chuck. Let's really see this place.
Charlie, please. Chuck sounds like something you could hurt yourself doing.
Fine. Then come along, Charlie.
I don't know what to say, so I guess I'll just say this. Thanks, Dad.
If you like competitive comedy game shows, check out Balderdash Academy. Watch real competitive comedy from a real fake school. Find us on YouTube or your favorite podcast service.
Meet the characters of Balderdash County in Balderdash Academy Teacher's Lounge.
You've heard the game show. Now you can go behind the scenes as you meet the students and faculty of our fine school. Unlock the mysteries of the centuries-old buildings, or even go outside the school grounds to meet the denizens of the village of Balderdash. Character, comedy, and mystery abound in Balderdash Academy Teacher's Lounge every other Wednesday on your favorite podcast service.
Well, there you have it. Let them go, Bianco. Book the doctor.
You got it, boss. In the years I've been on the force, I ain't never seen a case like this.
Actually, I've seen worse.
Worse than a man orchestrating his own murder?
Yeah, back in the 20s, I was on a case. I call it, I Love You to Death.
Heck of a title there, sir.
Yeah, it's a story of a rival speakeasies, forbidden love, and a series of murders.
Series, sir?
Tell you what, let's book the perp and process the witnesses. I'll meet you at Leo's for a drink and tell you the whole story.
You got it, boss.
You know, there's just one thing we need to figure out with this case, Bianco.
What's that, sir?
Who sent the records?
You've listened to Sleuths Mystery Entertainment's production of Robert J. LeBlanc's Motive, Means, Opportunity. Brought to you by Maine Repertory Theater, the home for original comedy, and by Somerset Abbey. So much more than just music and comedy, it's an experience. Tonight's broadcast featured Brian Files as Inspector Brian Fisher, Bob LeBlanc as Detective Bobby Bianco and Max Parker, David Hanwright as Dr. Archibald Clay, Nate Green as Charlie Basker, Marie Stewart Harmon as Christine Monroe, Molly McGill as Abigail Bancroft, Carla Rose Dubois as Amanda Locke, and I'm your narrator, Steve Corning. The music used in this episode was Hard Boiled and Fast Talkin' by Kevin MacLeod. Both compositions are used under extended license. To review these songs or the rest of the catalog, visit filmmusic.io. Thank you for listening. And now, here's Bob LeBlanc, owner of Sleuths Mystery Entertainment, with our Watsons and Super Sleuth Awards.
Hi, I'm Bob. I'm the owner of Sleuths Mystery Entertainment, and I'm also the playwright and producer of Sleuths Mystery Radio, and I want to thank you for joining us over these last couple of weeks. I'm proud of what we accomplished. Like I said earlier in the shows, we did all of this while in lockdown, hundreds of miles apart using whatever equipment we had on hand. The fact that we pulled it off at all is a testament of our desire to bring entertainment to the public. And it's a time when that distraction is needed. I couldn't be more proud. When our shows were shut down due to the virus, we scrambled and got this together. I took a couple of days and adapted a show that I had run years earlier, adapted it into a radio format. Within a week, we had it cast. We had our first rehearsal days later. We then shot the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth episodes via Zoom. And over the last couple of weeks, I edited them all together. I think they came out pretty good. I'm happy with them, and I'm incredibly proud of the talented actors that we assembled in order to bring this to you. So, by the numbers, before we move on to our winners, for the record, we were seen, from what I could find based on our analytics, in 42 states, 5 countries, two hemispheres and four continents. So far, we know that we were listened to in the United States, the UK, Germany, France, Australia. So, China. I know, I'm as surprised as you are. Before we announce our winner, the Super Sleutha Master Detective who figured it out, there's something we do in our live shows that I wanted to bring over to our radio shows, and it's something that's very dear to my heart. When we collect in a live show, when we collect the answers from the audience, we always say before then that if you can't be accurate, be funny. And whatever you do, do your best. And the Watsons were created to celebrate those who followed that to heart. They either wrote something down that was genuinely funny and genuinely witty and made us laugh, and we wanted to celebrate that. Or they had an answer that was brilliant. Wrong, but brilliant. One of those answers that wasn't right only based on a technicality. Those people deserve to be celebrated. So we created an award called the Watsons to do so. And tonight we have a treat because we have two Watsons. We have two people who went above and beyond and answered in their own words in a way that I thought was brilliant and inspiring. And we were lucky enough that they submitted their answers in video format. I reached out and I got permission to show them to you right now. So without further ado, I present to you our Watsons.
Max Parker. I think Max did it because, well, Charlie left the bottle of poison in the hallway. He also excused himself from the room to try to get the bridge attendant to lower it. He could have grabbed the bottle of wine, put the poison in the wine, assuming one of us was gonna drink it. Then he could have just wanted the money. That's all he probably wanted, the money. Private detective.
I think Charlie did it because he grabbed the bottle of poison, and Frederick did kill his father, and he might have put it in the wine, and someone might have drank it.
So congratulations to Francis and Myra, our very first Sleuths Mystery Radio Watsons. Moving on to our super sleuth, to the master detective, to the one person who correctly guessed who killed Frederick Locke. Their answer was, Dr. Clay killed Frederick. Why? He had poison with him in the kit he told Abigail that he brought. He poisoned the bottle once he found the adoption papers, knowing that he could excuse himself from taking a drink. He believed that Frederick did save him until he saw the date on the adoption papers. Our super sleuth, our master detective, the one person who correctly guessed who killed Frederick Locke, is Marie McMillan. So there you have it. I am so happy that you watched our five-part radio mystery. I hope you enjoyed it. Under the circumstances that we created it, it was challenging, but it was so worth it. So much so that we will return in July with our next installment of Sleuth's Mystery Radio, I Love You to Death. Again, I'm Bob. On behalf of myself, of the rest of the crew, and all of our amazing actors, thank you for joining us. Good night.
Audio and text copyright 2020 by Robert J. LeBlanc. All rights reserved. No part of this recording may be reproduced without express written permission from the author.
If you would like to tip your performers, a Venmo account has been created at Sleuths Mystery. All tips will be split equally among the 8 performers. The interactive portion of this production runs from the 22nd of April to the 19th of May, 2020. After that time, all clues will be made public through our distribution channels. You've listened to Sleuths Mystery Radio. Hear the show, play the game, solve the mystery.